السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، الحمد لله الله تعالى gave us the tawfiq, gave us the ability, gave us the courage to perform our salah with jama'ah, and thereafter with taraweeh and witr salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our broken ibadat, which are not worthy to be presented in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we look at the deficiency and how weak our amal are, and compare our actions and our deeds to those people who have engaged in the true ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we will realize that our ibadat, our actions of worship, because they are void of ikhlas sometimes, and concentration and devotion, and even the outside appearance of the ibadat that we engage in, sometimes there's so much of lethargy in it, so much of laziness in it, and then of course the thoughts and all the distractions that we have in our salah. Now, how can we ever be proud about our ibadat that Allah Ta'ala gives us tawfiq to do that little bit of this, and then brag about the ibadat that I have did this and I have performed so much of nafal salah? My Shaykh Al-Mawlana Yunus Sahib Rahimullah Ta'ala used to say that sometimes some people used to write to him with regards their spiritual problems, and sometimes Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, more than once probably I've heard this from Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, that this was written to him, and he was informed that when we are performing salah, and especially when we are going into ruku and sajda, then all those evil things which I have engaged in before the salah or previously, these types of sins that I have engaged in, the immoral acts that I have, actions that I have engaged in, the haram that I have committed, then all the haram that I have seen, and sometimes those haram beautiful faces that my gaze was attracted to and then stuck on, now all that when I'm in ruku and when I'm in sajda, that is when all those pictures come in front of me. Now this may be one person of one or two that may have taken up that courage, one or two that may have taken up that courage to bring his weakness to a doctor, to a spiritual doctor. Myself, a person that suffers from these types of sicknesses, illnesses, I feel so embarrassed that I cannot even take up the courage to discuss this with someone. I feel that, listen, if I'm going to tell it to someone, then what is he going to think of me? And outwardly I've got this garb, or I've got the garb of the pious, so what is he going to think of me? So the reality is this, that when it comes to Islah, when it comes to spiritual rectification and purification, then just as in physical sicknesses, illnesses and ailments, there we don't feel shy. And even if we feel shy, we feel that because it is life-threatening, or it can become life-threatening, or that I won't enjoy quality of life, that I will be in pain and ache, then as much as I feel shy, I will go to the doctor, or go to the physician, or go to the specialist. And even out of necessity, if my satr has to be exposed to him because of necessity, I will do that, but I want relief from the problem, from the pain that I am experiencing. Why? That is a physical pain. Now physical pain, we become worried and concerned about. I got a headache, Headache is just not leaving me. And I don't leave it there, that I'm going from this doctor to that physician to that specialist, and that doesn't come right, then I'm going to someone for dumb water, and I'm going to someone to some amel that, listen, I've tried everything, I've gone through so many tests and blood tests and everything, and it's still not coming right. How restless that person becomes looking for cure. How restless the person becomes when he looks for cure. Now those that are truly concerned about the Akhirah, and those that are truly concerned about the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is how restless they become when they find that they are spiritually sick, spiritually ill. Now any way, any avenue that they can get some type of relief from the spiritual sickness, because as we discussed long ago, you see, as far as physical illnesses, physical sicknesses are concerned, a person when he has got some type of sickness, and for some reason or the other it cannot be treated, then what happens? The end is death. Death brings an end to all the pains of this world. Person is suffering from cancer, he's on the last degree or last stage of cancer. Person is restless, you can't see the pain of the person. Or some other type of sickness of the Allah Ta'ala protect, or Allah Ta'ala make or hifazat. Now person is in that. Now the person, eventually what happens, the person passes away. The person, the moment he breathes or she breathes, his or her last, the pain comes to an end. That pain is finished now. Person is not enduring that pain anymore. So death brings an end to this pain of the body, the physical body that we have. So even if a person didn't get aid in time, medical aid in time, he didn't get assistance in time, or he got medical assistance, but for some reason or the other, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't will it to work for him, Allah ta'ala's mashiyat was not there that this medication must be beneficial for this person, then that person will not get the shifa. The person will go through that period of sickness. The problem, unfortunately, with us is that our yaqeen and our conviction is in the things of this world. When a person starts taking medication, he feels, he already starts thinking that I'm certainly going to get shifa. Whereas shifa is in the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. Shifa will only come when the hukm of Allah Ta'ala, when the order of Allah Ta'ala enters that medication, that you become a means of shifa for this person, then that medication will become shifa for that person. Otherwise you can continue taking different types of medication until such time that Allah Ta'ala's order does not come to that medication to give shifa, it will not give shifa. So this is the yaqeen that we should have, the conviction that Allah Ta'ala is the curer, He will give shifa. Yes, make use of the means that Allah Ta'ala has. However, these types of sicknesses, but with mouth, with death, a person has got a heart condition, or he's got a kidney condition where his kidneys are failing, whatever. Now the type of pain the person goes through, and is under dialysis and everything else, he's going weak, he can't walk, or the person is paralysis, whatever. Death brings an end to all these pains. But we look at the spiritual sicknesses and spiritual illnesses and ailments that we have. The spiritual illnesses, the spiritual weaknesses, if they are not treated, the spiritual weaknesses, we feel very comfortable because our life is continuing. We are engaged in whatever pursuits, whether it is our business, whether it is our other activities of life, our exercising, our eating, drinking, everything is continuing. And we are very happy that everything is continuing, everything seems rosy for us. So that spiritual weakness that we have, our minds are not focused toward that. And I don't even regard it as something that is serious in my life. If my salah is incorrect, if I don't have devotion and concentration in my salah, so what? As long as I'm performing my salah. Is that salah worthy of presentation in the court of Allah Ta'ala? My dealings whether it is business dealings or whether it is other types of dealing, whether it is our interaction, all the different departments of deen, whether it is our aqaid, our ibadat, our muamlat, our muasharat, our social dealings, whether that is right or not, as long as I am comfortable, I've got everything of the best, all the luxuries I've got. So whether those departments of my life, I'm making zulm on someone, I'm oppressing someone, I'm swearing someone, I'm deceiving someone, I'm cheating someone, I'm dealing in interest, whatever, as long as I'm outwardly, I'm in comfort zone, I'm not bothered. Although I know that this is displeasing my Creator, this is going against the command of my Creator, but it doesn't bother me. I know I've got this weakness in me. I know I've got this sickness in me. As we discussed yesterday, Imam Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Ali mentions the weakness of the heart, or we make out that the spiritual heart is gone defective, that what are the signs of a defective heart, and one of those which we mentioned yesterday, which our minds wouldn't even go towards, and that is Ya'kulun wa la yashkurun, that we will eat and we will not show gratitude to Allah Ta'ala. And if we broaden this aspect, it will mean that we use the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. Imagine we use the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala and we don't show gratitude to Allah Ta'ala. From morning to evening, let us take a pen and paper and sit and jot down that how many ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala we are enjoying and we are using from morning to evening. Just every breath that we take, there's two ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. Breathing in is a ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, breathing out is a ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. Just as breathing. Now if we have to count the number of times that we breathe from the morning to evening, and even when we are sleeping we don't even know what is happening, this ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala is continuing. This ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala is not saying that, listen, the balance of the body, or similarly with the heart, that it stops pumping, that all the other parts of the body are now resting, so I must also rest. Look at Allah Ta'ala's nizam, look at Allah Ta'ala's system. Now just these ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala, if we have to start enumerating, will we be able to enumerate the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala? So Imam Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Ali mentions that we will use the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. So let us contemplate, you know, for a little while, myself and all of us. Think for a little while. You know, sometimes we attribute everything to ourselves. That I have got this wealth because of my hard work, because of my intelligence. I've earned this vehicle, or I've earned this house, and I've earned my business. I've worked hard for it. And sometimes we even make these types of statements that I've worked hard for it. It is my sweat. It is your sweat, but who has given it to you? Who has made it possible for you to own whatever you have? And that being in the Zat who has given it to you, he could have given it to you even without your sweat. There are so many that Allah Ta'ala blesses. For instance, a child is born and the father passed away and he leaves behind inheritance. The child didn't work for it. Allah Ta'ala has given it to him without any effort. So that same Allah who gives with effort, that same Allah can give without effort as well. So all these ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving us, after using these ni'mats, do we show appreciation and gratitude to our Creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now, absence of gratitude and shukr to Allah Ta'ala is a sign of a defective heart, in the words of Hazrat Imam Hasan Basri Rahmatullah. By the end of the day, in our businesses, we get risk, Allah Ta'ala gives us risk. Have we shown gratitude to Allah Ta'ala that, Ya Allah, the day we make less profit or the day we don't have much customers, we are ready to complain, no, it was a bit slow today. Forgetting that yesterday what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me. Forgetting the days that Allah Ta'ala gave me sufficient rizq. And also let us understand this, that if we have this correct relationship with Allah Ta'ala, then the day or those days or those months where the risk did not flow like it may have flowed in previous months or previous days, where it wasn't too fruitful, then remember that Allah who is giving you that risk, maybe in little drips and drabs that He is giving you, and we feel that now my income has decreased in this particular month, then let us be convinced that in this day is barakat. Sometimes we will observe and we will find that Allah Ta'ala blesses with a lot. There's so much that a person has got. It's flourish, and sometimes when it's through haram means, but the person is seeing volumes of whatever, wealth. And the person is becoming happy. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts him into such difficulties and such crisis. You find that all that wealth that he has got is all spent on that. It all is gone to other, into other souls. On the other hand, the person has got a little. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala reduces that wealth that Allah Ta'ala has given him. So what happens, this person, at that time he says, Ya Allah, I'm happy with this. But in the meantime, what is happening, Allah Ta'ala is saving him from calamities. Allah Ta'ala is saving him from sickness which could have cost him hundreds of thousands of rands. Allah Ta'ala, he's not looking at that. His mind is not even going towards that. And this also we must understand, sometimes we, those that perform Taraweeh, or those that that are Huffaz of the Quran and Majeed, or those that are ulama, those that give speeches and bayans, and that we will find even there too, sometimes Allah Ta'ala just opens the heart. Allah Ta'ala just opens the heart, and you see things are just flowing. You hear the person's recitation of the Quran and Majeed, or you hear the person's bayan, you find that things are just flowing. And sometimes suddenly you will find that that flow is not there. The person is battling to read, or the person is battling to speak. We know of people that were orators that could speak for hours, but sometimes the condition that befell them was this, that they just couldn't speak. Now why is it that happens? If it is the person's own ability, if it is the person's own ability, then irrespective of which condition, he must be able to read or he must be able to speak. These conditions come from Allah Ta'ala's side. Now why? If sometime you find that that condition remains constant, that the person is flying high, then the person can become a shaitan and think that this is my ability, I can do everything. But this, when these moments come, when the person finds that in spite of having the ability, he just can't do it, then he realizes someone is controlling me. Then he realizes that the reins are in someone's. That is why Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, different people have recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in different ways. How did he recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now we all, you know, we say, tomorrow I'm leaving for a certain place, I've made my booking, next week I'm going to be gone certain place, or following week I'm going for Umrah, and we forget to say inshallah. We've got all the wealth, we've got everything, but the visas are closed, the person can't go. Now Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, Araftu Rabbi bifaskhil azaim. How did I recognize my Creator? How did I recognize that there is some being above that is controlling the entire universe and that's controlling me as well? How did I recognize him? He said, I recognize him by my determinations breaking. I was determined to do something. Tomorrow I'm going. I've got everything. But I forget to say, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala didn't will it. It didn't happen. Everything is there for me to go. Everything is ready. But it didn't happen. Something came in between which broke the determination of mine. Now I realized, but how did this happen? You can get angry, you can do what? You can turn things upside down. If Allah Ta'ala didn't will it, it will not happen. That is why we always say, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدَى إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Say, inshaAllah. Allah Ta'ala will. If Allah Ta'ala wills, this will happen. That is why my Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi Azmala Yunus Sahib Rahimullah Ta'ala Alayhi mentioned one incident. Said there was a person that was wanting to go purchase a horse. So he was en route to the marketplace where horses were sold. And he met his friend who was going. He said, where are you off to? He said, no, I'm going to purchase, like we would say, I'm going to purchase my car, I'm going to purchase a buggy, I'm going to purchase my vehicle, my horse, I'm going to purchase a horse. They said, brother, say inshallah. I'm going to purchase. He said, why should I say inshallah? He said, have I got my strength? I'm walking. I've got my money in my pocket. I'm going. He said, say inshallah. The person was arrogant. I don't need to say inshallah. So however, he went there. And there was bidding that was carrying on. And he bidded for a particular horse. It was a beautiful horse. So he won the bid, and now he had to pay the money. So he puts his hand into his pocket, only to find that the money is missing. The money is not there. He's putting his hand in this pocket and the other pocket. Whatever happened, some pickpocket or someone, money, the wealth was gone. This person puts his head down in shame now, and he's returning. When he's returning, perchance, coincidence, he meets that friend of his again. So the friend asks him that, what happened, you know. So he said, no, inshallah, I was going, and inshallah, I bided for the horse, and inshallah, when the time came for me to take out the money, inshallah, the money was lost. So now, that inshallah is too late. When it was the occasion for you to say inshallah, that is the time you're supposed to have said inshallah. So however, we're talking of using the ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala and showing gratitude to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But use the ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala and show gratitude, because the absence of that shows the weakness in the spiritual heart. Now, if we have got these types of problems and weaknesses, how much of concentration do we give to these types of spiritual illnesses, spiritual ailments? Do we ever, we feel, you know, we are quite satisfied and content with the type of salah that we read, that we are reading our salah, we are giving our zakat, we are keeping our roza, we are quite satisfied. When it comes to our worldly aspects, are we just satisfied with that little home that, or that little room that we had 20 years ago? Why is it that there we are always trying to upgrade? We've got a vehicle, 2, 3 years, 4 years, no, this vehicle is gone old, I need a new model. Although the vehicle is good, but I want a new model, and I want something that is better, that is more advanced. And similarly, many other things in our life. When it comes to our salah, when it comes to our actions of ibadat, let me compare the salah that I am reading now to the salah that I was reading 5 years or 10 years ago. Is it the same model? You find the model is the same. In other words, that salah which I was reading when I was a young person, and now, there is no difference in that salah. Sometimes it could be that I'm gone worse, because those days I had less to think about, or those days there was less evil in my mind and heart. And as I grew, there were more things that came, and more gunas that I started thinking of, and my salah is gone even more deficient. Why is it that here we do not want to improve? Why is it that here we are just content with the same level and with the same quality that has been there for the years, is just continuing that? There is no determination, there is no desire for us to improve our actions of ibadat, bring more quality into our actions of ibadat. So these weaknesses that we have, they also need to be treated. Now what happens, as we're talking and speaking about the physical illnesses and physical ailments, these physical illnesses and ailments, the pain of that ends with death. The pain of that ends with death. But the spiritual sicknesses and illnesses and ailments, if they are not treated, then the pain starts after death. The pain starts after death. Why? The person either didn't read his namaz, or all those evils that were there in the heart, and the person didn't make an attempt to cleanse and purify or find some type of treatment for these sicknesses and illnesses and ailments. Now what happens is, after the person dies, then you find that all these, the different types of punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, starts engulfing this person. That qabr becomes a pit from the pits of Jahannam, Allah ta'ala forbid. Now why? It is all because we didn't take heed, and we did not concern ourselves with the spiritual rectification and purification of our inner souls, of our inner selves. So therefore it is so important that together with concerning ourselves, as far as our bodies are concerned, we should also concern ourselves with our spiritual side of ourselves. And in this there are so many things, and these are the days that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. And as I was mentioning, as far as my Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi, to say that Mawlana Yunus Sahib Rahmatullah Ali last year too, we mentioned it. The other Rahmatullah Ali used to refer to these nights as different flights that are taking off one after the other. So the, as we mentioned last year also, that these flights that Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to refer to, what flights are these? Where are these flights going? If a flight, when we talk of a flight or speak of a flight or discuss a flight, we know that it takes off and then it flies and then it lands somewhere. It can't just remain suspended. It goes and lands somewhere. So where is this flight taking off from and where is it going to? So this flight that Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to speak about, that these flights are taking off. Try and get onto this flight. Where is this flight taking off? It is taking off from that earth or from that place where there is disobedience of Allah Ta'ala and disregard for the commands of Allah Ta'ala. From there, this flight is taking off from that platform, from that runway, and landing in that place where there is obedience of Allah Ta'ala. So away from the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala to the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. Now for this, now to get onto this flight, how do we get onto this flight? So for now normal flights when we need to travel overseas or whatever, we know we need so much of preparation for that, whether it is our passports and visas and all that. But sometimes we find that when there's emergencies, when there are emergencies, then no passport is asked for and no visa is asked for. No passport, and if there's some natural disaster in some place and people want to be evacuated, the government needs to evacuate people, take them from one country into another country because of the natural disaster, and if there's a neighboring country, at that time nobody asks for passport. Bring your passport or where's your visas. Whoever is there, make every attempt to get onto that flight so that you are saved. So these are the flights. What preparation do we need? Must just get onto that flight. Just our iman, and may have this intent that, Ya Allah, I want to move away from your disobedience to your obedience, and get onto this flight, and you will see the way we will land. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this opportunity. These are the Mubarak nights. But I just want to discuss one aspect, and that is part of something else that I had wanted to discuss. But however, when we heard some hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the importance of this night, and why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala held back the knowledge of this night, if we heard closely and with attention, we would have known by now that it is because of a dispute between two Muslim brethren, between two sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, that the knowledge of this particular night, the precise knowledge, was taken away from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, before we go any further, it is two sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Never should we build up any wrong impression about the sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in or question, because in this, there's a lot of wisdom why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept the knowledge of this away from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it is the one reason that some ulama give for this is this, that see, if we had known specifically that this is the night of Qadr, this is a night of power, knowing fully well that this is a Mubarak night, and with our weakness, if we still committed gunas and disobedience of Allah Ta'ala in that night, then the impact of that and the seriousness of that particular guna, all like a person commits a guna anywhere else, and one is committing the guna in the Haram Sharif, in Makkah Muazzama or in Madinah Tayyibah, it will increase, it will become more severe. So similarly, if we know that with certainty that it is a night of power, and then too we are unmindful and our sins and our disobedience to Allah Ta'ala continues in that Mubarak night, then what would have been the case? So the wisdom of Allah Ta'ala and Allah Ta'ala's hikmat, Allah Ta'ala has... But however, it was this argument that was taking place between the two Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhim Ajma'in, due to which this knowledge was taken away. Now from here we can understand how serious it is to have arguments. And generally today we will find in our communities, in our societies, the arguments and the differences and the fights that we have sometimes within the home, and sometimes it is within our business world. Everywhere we find this arguments and fights. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us the tawfiq to understand this, that this does not bring any peace and comfort. Move away from arguments and fights, whether it is in the home. And how would a person move away from arguments and fights? The important thing and ingredient in this is humility. When a person humbles himself, when a person humbles himself, you find he will be able to give the right to someone else. He will not bother about it. And generally when we analyze the types of problems that we have, and especially family problems, we find that families have become disintegrated, that unity and that muhabbat is no more there. And generally, quite often it has been observed that it is because of the wealth of this world. It is because of the wealth of this world that we are enemies of one another. Sometimes it is brothers don't want to see brothers and speak to brothers. Why? It is related to the wealth of this world. Brothers and sisters don't want to speak to each other. Why? Because it is related to the wealth of this world. And unfortunately, sometimes it is even between parents and children that we don't want to speak to one another and we have this problem. It is because of the wealth of this world. And what is the wealth of this world? There was one ordinary person. So he went to one ruler. He happened to visit him. So when he saw all the comforts and the luxuries and the palaces and everything else, so he mentioned to the ruler, you know, you are really fortunate that you've got all these comforts and luxuries and you are spending an excellent life. So the ruler heard whatever he had to say. After he finished off, he said, I'm inviting you for supper to my place. Come home for supper. So he felt very happy that, listen, I'm going to go to someone's place and, you know, have the best of foods, because this is that type of what we call a Shahi Dastarkhan. So expecting all the best of foods, he went. But what the ruler did is, the place where this person was going to be seated to eat, he had an unsheathed sword hung above his head and with a very thin string, such that the impression or the fear is there that that could fall any time. So that was hung there, and then this person was brought in and he was made to sit directly under that sword that was hung there. They're suspended. And remember, it's on a thin string that it is just suspended. And after that, the dasturkhan was laid. The best of foods, everything. Whatever you'd call it, juices and the best of foods, the biryani, everything was laid down. Now he doesn't want to eat. The ruler is telling me, there's all the best of foods here, eat. This is this kebabs here, this samosas here, this biryani here, this roast here, and this toast here, and everything. So now, he's looking at the ruler. He said, no, I can't eat. I said, why? He said, no, I'm so fearful, I don't know when that sword from above can fall, and that will be the end of my life. So I'm more concerned about that. I have no desire to eat now. No desire to eat. The ruler then addressed him and told him, you see, you need to understand that you are living a life much more better than me. Because the condition which you are experiencing now, that is exactly my condition. I have everything, but I don't know when who's going to be putting poison into my food to kill me. And I don't know when there's going to be any rebellion against me. And I don't know who's behind me to assassinate and murder me. So where can I get proper sleep? And where can I get any enjoyment in the food? Because this is always constantly my worry and concern. This is the wealth of the world. So that person whom Allah Ta'ala has blessed, alhamdulillah. But why should we bring in disputes and fights and arguments within ourselves because of the wealth of this world? After all, there was one king, one ruler. So when, just before he passed away, he made one wasiyat. And he says, listen, when my janaza and everything is ready, before you take my janaza, when it is ready for the salah, then before you perform the salah, then from my janaza, just take both my hands out and leave them outside. So somebody asked Badshah Salamat, you know, what type of request you are making and why is it that you are making this type of request? So he said, you see, the reason for that is that there's major and many problems that occur because of the wealth of this world. This hatred, jealousy, all these things creep up because of the wealth of this world. So he said, listen, I want to teach my subjects. When I came into this world, I came empty-handed. When I came into this world, I didn't come with anything. I came empty-handed. And I want to educate my subjects that when I'm leaving also, there's nothing that is coming. I'm going empty-handed. Who has taken anything with him? There's absolutely nothing. That is why the moment our eyes close, that is why we say, this is mine, and that is mine, and that is mine. We are taught that nothing is yours. Only what you have worn and used, that is yours. What you have ate and digested, that is yours. Balance, everything is someone else's. Balance. The moment our eyes close, whose is it? This inheritance, that it goes away to them. There's nothing that comes. Now that wealth which I've worked and I was so much attached to and I couldn't leave it and I gave it so much of importance and I spent my whole life accumulating that wealth, there's absolutely nothing from that. The only thing that I'm going with is my kafan. Na maal, na dolat, na dhan jayega, faqat saat tere kafan jayega. The only thing that is going to be accompanying us is that few pieces of cloth, and the other thing is our a'mal. Whether it is good actions or bad actions, that is what is going to be accompanying us to the grave. Otherwise, nothing else. Now that same wealth, we are making that a means of great feuds and fights and arguments and enmity. Where is the understanding as well? Therefore, to move away from this, the thing that we would have to have in ourselves is humility, where the person can humble himself. Okay, listen, if this is becoming a mean, there were many such incidents where this one that comes to mind very quickly. There was one wealthy father, and he had a few children. So the father eventually fell sick in his old age. Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with a lot of wealth. And when he got sick, now nobody wanted to make his khidmat, nobody wanted to be in his service. So everyone is running away. So the one particular brother, he called his brothers up and said, listen, I have a deal to make. So they asked him, what is that? He said, there's two options that I'm putting before you. Accept one of those two options. So what is it? He said, the one option is this, that whatever my father's wealth is, give me all that wealth and you all take his khidmat, make his khidmat, serve him. So you write in your head. You want to do the we take all the wealth and we must make the khidmat. So what's the other option? I said, okay, the other option is you all take all the wealth and I will make the khidmat. You all take all the wealth and I will make the khidmat. That's you talking something now. So they said, okay. So we gave them all the wealth. This person had some meager savings that he had. And what he started doing, he spent on himself and whatever he could spend on his father. He was sickly, his medication and whatever he started spending on him. Now the meager funds that he had started reducing. Because he's spending and there's no income. Now eventually he reached a stage where there was like poverty in the house. There's no food to eat. So he sees one night in a dream. Now the wife is telling him, there's nothing, you see, now you should have taken some. He said, no, don't worry. And this is what we are saying, when a person gives preference and priority, then see how Allah Ta'ala's dealing with that person is. Allah Ta'ala gives from His treasures. Allah Ta'ala's treasures are unlimited. The problem is that, you know, unfortunately, we tell some friends that the door which we're supposed to tap, that door we are not tapping. We are tapping other doors. And then we don't get it, who do we blame? And sometimes when we tap other doors, things will come, but they will come with humiliation and disgrace. The person will help and assist you now, and tomorrow he will tell the public that, listen, I've given this person this type of money. And sometimes that wealth that he has given us, that too is not parked and pure and clean. And then there's so much talk about it. So however, this person now has a straitened condition, and now he's got children, he's got the wife, and there's nothing to it. Can you imagine now what that person must be going through, and there was so much of wealth? So he sees a dream, and in the dream he is told that at a certain place there is a tree, and under that tree at the roots there's some wealth that is buried there. There's 10 dirhams. 10 dirhams. They're buried there. You go and unearth that and take it and use it for yourself. So in the dream he is asking this person, is it bi barakatin or bi ghairi barakatin? Is it with barakat and blessing, or is it without blessing? So he is told, the answer is given, bi ghairi barakat. There's no barakat in it. He wakes up in the morning and he shares this dream with the wife. The wife tells him, said, go immediately, go, you'll find something. So he said, no, but I'm not going to go. Why? He said, no, because I've been told in the dream there's no barakat in it. But go, we are going through this. I'm not going. Okay. Second night, he sees the same dream, that there's 10 coins there, go and unearth those coins. Same question again, with barakat, without barakat? Say, without barakat, I'm not going. He wakes up in the morning, he gets up, he tells his family the same feud again, go, don't, I'm not going. He didn't go. The third night, he sees in his dream, he is being told, go and unearth. But there's one coin there only. There's only one coin. So he asks, is it with barakat or without barakat? So he is told it is with barakat. So then in the morning when he got up, even without asking, he was on his way. He said, where are you going now? He said, I'm going to unearth something. So what is it? Going to get one coin. So he goes, and at that particular point, which place which he was shown in his dream, he goes there and he actually unearths that one coin. He finds that coin. Now he's returning. And on his return, he realizes that, listen, there's nothing at home to eat. So he goes by someone that is on a trolley selling some fish. So that was the one coin that he had. How much was it worth? However, he, in exchange for that fish, he gave that coin and he took the fish home. So the family asked him, what you brought? He said, this is what I brought, something to eat. At least we'll have something to eat. So the wife said, okay, listen, we'll clean this fish. So they slit open, you know, and scale the thing and everything, slit open it. When they slit it open, she found a pearl jewel inside the fish. But the jewel was such that it comes as a pear, you know, like how we get earrings, it comes as a pear. So the wife showed that to him, listen, there's something that has come out from inside the fish. Now see this once again, let's take our minds to this. Let's not get so interested in the waqia itself. keep this in mind, that how Allah Ta'ala gives and our relationship with Allah. Now here the person is being of service to his father, khidmat, and he's lost everything. And see how Allah Ta'ala is now opening the way for him. So she says, listen, this is a pay here. Now take this, maybe go with this and you'll get some wealth for it, you'll get some cash for it, go to the jeweler. So from that pair, like we say it's an earring, so he took one and he went into the marketplace. So he goes to the jeweler and he says, listen, you know, I need some assistance. And he's like, you know, as we say, bichara, you know, like, You know, like in a child's hand, you give 200 rand. The child will go to the shop and say, give me one lollipop, and he's prepared to give the 200 rands. You know. Now this person came with that little, you know, jewel, whatever it was, and he said, listen, give me something for it. Now, the honesty of the jeweler, he says, see, the price of this, I will not be able to pay you. I will not be able to pay you the price of this. This is a priceless jewel. So he said, then who will be able to give me the value, the price of it? And I said, the only person that can give you is the king. That is the value of this. So he said, now how do I reach the king? So I somehow, after a lot of effort and that, he reached the king. And he got into the presence of the king. Yes, what is it? He said, I brought a jewel and I want you to give me the price of it, the value of it. So he showed that valuable pearl jewel to the king, and when he saw it, then he knew the value of that. So they determined a certain amount. God said, how much, what is the value? So he told the king that, listen, you set the amount, the value, because you know the value of it. So if these were the types of subjects that the king had, then we can imagine how honest the king must have been. So however, it was 10 baskets of gold and silver and whatever that was given to this person. He takes that and he goes away. The king takes this pearl and gives it to the queen. You take an earring and you give one earring to the wife. He said, where's the pay of this thing? If you go to the jewelers and get one only and bring it home, what they're going to ask you? See, either one fell off somewhere, I didn't bring it. So then go bring it. So when she was the queen, and these things, they know the value and they know how it comes. So when she saw that, she told the king, Bachchan Salamat, see, this comes as a pair. This comes as a pair. And whoever has given it to you, he's got the other part. And until we don't get that part, this thing is going to be incomplete, and I want that. Now, Bacha is, now what to do? So he summoned that person. By the time that person went home, he took his wealth home and he went away. So he summoned him, came, said. So Bacha told him, that see, you came with the jewel, but that comes as a pair. And the fact that you brought one, certainly you've got the other part of it. So he replied, yes, I have got that. So he said, go and bring that. So he said, Basha, but the price of that. So Basha, okay. So then he told the Bacha, the king, you see, the previous one, you set the price. On the second half, I will set the price. The first half, you set the price. This half, I will set the price. So he said, you name it, you'll get it. Now, what are they going to be doing with only half? So he said, all right, what is the price? He said, the price is double what you gave me the first time. Double? What you gave me for the first half. So he went home and brought that in. Allah Ta'ala made that intizam for him. Now see how Allah Ta'ala gave it to him. An honest way, the person, this is the wealth of this world. And the wealth of this world, after all, as we mentioned, that it is not something to hanker behind. Allah Ta'ala gives, we use the world. But now today what happens is that these are the things that are becoming means of enmity, of hatred and arguments. Now the same arguments, all the barakat is taken away from our life. And let us remember that when we get involved in arguments and these times, then the peace of the heart is taken away. The person is always restless. And then what happens, try it out, that a person has got the best of everything. He's got the best home, he's got the best of luxury cars and everything. He's using his vehicle, he's sleeping with it, but his heart is restless. He's not enjoying it. Compared to that person who's got nothing and he's enjoying. There was one person, one ordinary laborer. So he was working somewhere and there was a little stream that was running. So in the hot afternoon sun, after he had worked, so there was one tree just on the river bank, on the stream. So he had a little tiffin, and he opened that. He had some dry bread and some water. He drank that, he ate that dry bread and drank the water. And there was on the stone he put his head, and next moment he was snoring away. So not far from there was one wealthy person who was sitting on the upper layer of the balcony, and he's observing this whole thing. When he observed this person, that whole episode, when this person got up, he summoned him. Come here. So the person went. He said, listen, I want to do an exchange. He said, what? He said, I give you all my wealth, give me your sleep. I give you all my wealth that I have and whatever my possessions are for that serenity, for that peace of mind, for that comfort that you have, and that beautiful sleep that you have where you got no worries. He said, I want to do an exchange. He said, your wealth Mubarak to you, leave me with my sleep. So this is the wealth of this world. So, and if Allah Ta'ala has given it, use the wealth of the world, but let us not make it a means of arguments and fights. And if sometimes, if we have to come to this, that way we have to part with something, let it be so. Allah Ta'ala is the giver. Sometimes I remember in the majlis of Hazrat Maulana Yunus Abraham Tulali, Hazrat himself mentioned this, that on one occasion Allah Ta'ala gave him the tawfiq to speak about interest, the harms of it and everything. So from some foreign neighboring country, there was one person that was seated in that majlis. And his whole business and dealing was on interest. And he was wealthy as anything. But it was all interest based. This person was there, Hazrat didn't know him. He said he heard Allah Ta'ala gave him the tawfiq of making amal and practicing. This person at that time, whilst he was seated, he made tawbah. He made tawbah immediately. And when he got back home, whatever he had taken from anyone, he started repaying each one. Whatever interest he had taken from anyone, he said, I have made my intention that I will repay everyone. And he started, and whatever wealth he had, he started paying to the extent that eventually he had nothing left by him. He actually went broke. But he didn't bother about that. He said, let it be so. And I've heard and I've made this intention of making amal, and may Allah will help and assist me. And when a person had, this morning, yesterday, 2 hours, we're discussing with some friends. See, when you do me a favor, say, al-insan, abdul ihsan. Insan, al-insan, abdul ihsan. When somebody does you a favor, then you become the person's slave. When you do me a favor, you've helped me, you've assisted me. Now imagine, for argument's sake, in a dark night, we are stuck somewhere. And some person that we don't know, we are scared. We've got the family, you've got little children, and then you've got wealth, you've got your money and everything in the vehicle. And now at that time, can we imagine what the person's going, the fear that grips the person, the darkness of the night, the lights are not coming on, the person is stuck there, in the middle of nowhere. And sometimes maybe if you're hearing the roaring of lions, or if sometimes these types of things, then you know what can happen. But however, in that condition, some person comes by, and he comes by with a vehicle that is, you know, as we will say, a skoro-skoro, you know, and a poor person. That person comes and he offers you some assistance. Now, although I am wealthy and I've got wealth, but doesn't that person become a slave? And doesn't he, the ihsan and the favor that this person has, He appreciates it so much. He said, listen, whatever I've got, I will give it to you. For the service and for the ihsan, for the favor that you have saved my life, you have saved the life of my children and my mother. Whatever I've got, my life is saved. The person. Now this appreciation, human beings show. Human beings, you and I, Allah Ta'ala has created us, we show. Let us ask ourselves, this appreciation itself, who has created this appreciation? Who has created such a thing as appreciation and kept it in this human being? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has created the appreciation. So the creator of appreciation, when the human being shows appreciation, which is a creation of Allah ta'ala, then the creator of appreciation, do we think that he will not show appreciation? So any amal that we do, any action that we do for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, then remember Allah Ta'ala is Shakur, Allah Ta'ala is most appreciating, Allah Ta'ala appreciates it. And then Allah Ta'ala rewards us accordingly. Now the rewards from Allah Ta'ala's side is different ways, different forms that we can experience the rewards from Allah Ta'ala's side. Sometimes, now unfortunately because our mind generally goes towards wealth, so we only when we see increase in wealth then we realize or we think that this is a ni'mat and we are being rewarded from Allah Ta'ala's side. But there's so many other things that can happen and we don't even know that Allah Ta'ala is removing obstacles, problems, calamities, things are moving away from me and I'm not even realizing it, or I'm enjoying good health. That is why in Gujarati or in Urdu they say Tandrusti Lakh Ni'mat. Tandrusti, when a person has got good health, then it is thousands of ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person who has got millions and millions but he hasn't got good health, of what use is all that wealth to him? There's so many people, they've got so much of wealth but they cannot eat food. All that wealth is of no use to them. So the ni'mats of Allah ta'ala reigns upon us in different forms. So do not attach, that is why we are told that do not attach our hearts to these things of this world. Do not give our hearts to it. Give our hearts to the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you got it, we got it. If you haven't got it, if you have to part with it for whatever reason, part with it and say, Allah ta'ala will give. Allah ta'ala is the giver. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless me, bless you, bless all of us with the tawakkul in Allah ta'ala, with the relationship with Allah ta'ala, and having trust in Allah ta'ala, and removing that love of the wealth of this world from our hearts, which is becoming the means of so many arguments and fights and quarrels and enmity and everything else. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us correct understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us humility. May Allah ta'ala grant us the correct understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa la'aqibatu li muttaqeen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wa sayyidin mursaleen. Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Allahumma rabbana taqabbal بل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين آمين يا رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.